I guess is Kabbalah's number three. One of the things to talk about is, I think sometimes people make Kabbalahs in the wrong spot. Which really moves down to the Masig of people making Kabbalahs in the area of Midas. So we have a tendency to make the Kabbalah towards the actions as opposed to the actual root issue. Because it's a lot easier to legislate actions than it is to legislate root issues, core issues. But the problem is sometimes that the actions are not really are sometimes detrimental to the core issue. For example, there's a fascinating paradox that you have. You're a person who has a problem that they seem to be talk a lot and outgoing, and right, so they talk about themselves too much. So their problem is gaiva. Right, so they need to stop talking about themselves so much. So they, you know, work on making a Kabbalah so they shouldn't talk about themselves so much. But very possible the real problem is that they don't feel good about themselves, and they want to get other people saying good things about them to make themselves feel good about themselves. So the real problem is that they have a lack of self-esteem. So they make this Kabbalah not to talk about themselves anymore, and therefore there's a big tzaddikim, etc. Right? And that would be wonderful. So but that's going to create such a feeling of inadequacy inside them that they'll end up doing who knows what. So the Kabbalah would seem to make sense, really doesn't make any sense at all. So the person has to think long and hard before they make a Kabbalah. We make a Kabbalah something that's clearly an Aveir and etc. So that it's pretty easy. I'm going to speak less Lashon Hara, etc. We make a Kabbalah on the core issues of Midas, etc. You have to be very careful that the Kabbalah should be matim to the right person. I mentioned I have a close friend who is he's quite gregarious. Verbose probably would be the right way to put it. And he's brought him. He's a chashuv rav, and he's, you know, whenever he goes to meetings, somebody told me he was at a meeting with him. With a lot of he holds court. Like he comes in, he just takes over the whole thing. You know, these people older than him, people more chashuv. Just he has a natural charisma to him, etc. He was a bracha yeshiva at one point in time. He was looking in the mirror. He decided he talks too much. And that person, we were in Carl together, like, you know, he'd walk into the building, you know, and you'd hear the song. As soon as you walked in the building, you heard the guy, you know, singing. You know, he was like, you know, always upbeat, levitic, etc. He talks too much. He does talk a lot, you know, right? So he made a couple, he's going to do Tanis Dibur, right? So that was like a great idea, Tanis Dibur, you know, like he's trying to control himself. So after like a second or third day, he started falling into depression. Like, you know, he's pushing, he was, so, Baron Chodesh is the Shkeich in the mirror, like, it's not, there's nobody's fool. He walked there one day, he says, my name is so and so, he says, oh, he's right there. He didn't even say, the whole conversation lasted three words, lo yizuah derech. You know, it's not the right thing for you. It doesn't fit you. Like, it wasn't what you needed. So, there's a loss of a Chavetz Chaim one place. The Chavetz Chaim actually talks about the Zinyan of Shtika. Punkt at Shtika. He says, talks about Shtika, the importance of, you know, being quiet, etc. Makes a whole long arichas. If you proc him over there, he shares a lotion about the Milo of Shtika. And he says, and a person who can't do that, he's not able to do that, a person, this, he should do this instead.
Good, let's go.
So, like, what do you mean, not able to do that? This is what he means. It wasn't healthy for this person. His nature, he needed that interaction with people. That's how he recharges his batteries. Right? Certain people that recharge their batteries by going into a quiet spot and chilling out, you know, nobody around, and that's how they recharge their batteries. Certain people recharge their batteries by being in the middle of a party. That's how they recharge their batteries. So the person who recharges the batteries by being in the middle of a party, making a couple of days, shouldn't talk, it's not as deeper every day. It's not, it might address his problem. The obvious problem is he talks too much. So this is a great way to address the problem. At the end of the day, it's going to backfire by A, because emotionally it's not the right thing for him. So the person not, and even keel, it's a hard, much easier time to get the guy to do something wrong. You're frustrated, upset, irritated, restless, irritable, bored. You know, all those type of things.
The whole day, can you just do it like 20 minutes?
maybe that wasn't, you know, maybe that wasn't there. He was, you know, maybe that's his strength is talking. He has, you know, maybe learn how to do it properly. But you know, maybe this, but there's another area. The problem is that the nature of you make a kabbalah, type of kabbalah, which you're pressuring yourself. You have to be very careful because there's a fascinating principle called a coil. A coil is a fascinating thing. You press it down, you compress it very hard. But when you let go, you know what happens to that coil? It pops up. And most people who make a tana deeper for one day, you just end up talking twice as much the next day. You know? The answer is that they weren't addressing what their real needs are. Their real needs are maybe is that the person might need to learn how to speak properly. That's which is that's even a nice thing for that. You know? But he needs to find a way to connect to people in an intelligent way, in a deep way, etc. That's his real need, as opposed to talking superficially, talking about the things which are bittul Torah, etc. So that to take away the vehicle of the connection is painful for the person. So the result is going to be that the coil is going to spring back, and I have twice as much unintelligent chatter the next day. So in talking kabbalas, you have to make a kabbalah which makes sense, you know. And people a lot of times the kabbalas they try and go straight. They look at the action, or they look at, you know, the obvious issue, the obvious meter, and the underlying issue is something else totally. Person is craving connection, right? Making kabbalas about, you know, staying away from people is not going to be healthy. Okay. The deep down, his issue is he craves connections. They want to know why you crave connections. Like, what is his issue? His issue might be that he has, you know, whatever, like he has low self esteem. So he needs to make kabbalas to be mechazik his self esteem. That's the real area. So, the Arial, the Leib Chasman, has this aura. Says that the Navi Hoshea is Shuvah Yisrael Hashem Lekecha. That's, you know, considered like, you know, the paradigm, the Vua about Shuvah, made it into the Haftarah of Shabbat Shuvah, right? So it's Navi Hoshea from Shevet Ruven. So the matter says that Rosham told Ruven, you are Pesach B'Shuvah, so therefore the Chayecha from your B'nai Bonav will be Pesach B'Shuvah. The person who's going to bring the message to the place about Shuvah is from Ruven, because Ruven was the one who introduced the idea of Shuvah. So the obvious question is, we know Chazal say that Adam the Tshuva, we know that, you know, that Kain the Tshuva, you know, so like, what does it mean that we erish to make up that Ruvain was Mechadish Tshuva? So he suggests like this. He says, imagine a person gets on a boat and he needs to travel to the east. He's on the boat traveling for a day and he realizes that this boat is going west. There's no problem. He starts walking east on the boat. Right? This is Duma, but you know, you with your east is still going west. It says, does tshuva. Right? He doesn't do tshuva on the root, the core issue. See, he's like, you know, the core issue is pulling him this way, and he's like going back that way, but the core issue is still pulling him this way. What Reuben was Mechadish was not on a Maisa. Reuben Mechadish was tshuva on a Midah. Reuben's Midah was Pehilos, Pachas, Kamayim, Al Taiser, etc. And Reuben's tshuva was that he said, let's not run this too quickly. Let's think about this. Hold on. Right? His tshuva was on the midah, not on the maisa. Till now, the tshuva was on the maisa. He was mechadish that tshuva has to be done on the midah, not on the maisa. Now, obviously, we need to do both. Right? You know, I guess, listen, you know, I'm working on the midas, you know, the maisim, you know, so chil Shabbos, ritzich, you know, lashon hara, you know, I'm working on the midas, you know, like, you know, that's not necessarily going to go over well. That being said, we had this, I think I shared this conversation with some of you. I had this conversation in the summertime. Had a person over. A fascinating question, you know, philosophical question. See if we can do justice to it in the time allotted. But, so there's a Muslim of Bashir. So Bashir Lachara means, you know, a lot of times, you know, we talk about the issue of parents, like, you know, parents or, you know, people who, you have a person who has, he's an impatient person. So being impatient affects his wife, affects his kids, right, affects his chaver. There are many impacts of his impatience. Right? So he starts working on becoming more patient. So he works on that, you know, and he gets himself to train himself to be supposed to having these outbursts and being impatient. 10 of the day, he gets down to 5 times a day. It's a tremendous accomplishment. He's still hurting his wife and his kids and his friend. So he says, you know, I didn't accomplish anything. Look, I'm still hurting my wife and my kids. Now the reality is he accomplished tremendous things. Right? But in his mind, his issue wasn't the impatience, his issue was the impact of other people. He's still hurting other people. It bothers him. See? He says, I didn't accomplish anything. Gornish of Kutal. Right? That's what the Yetzirah says. So, you know, so why keep trying? You're not doing it anyway. So I'll go back to being 15 times a day. You know, like, that's what happens. Right? But obviously, that doesn't make any sense. But that's how we think. So I said, so how do you combat that? Now I'm touching on the world of Yedi and Bechira. So, the Rosham took Reuven, who's this impatient person, and put him down amongst zebra eggs. If the Rosham didn't want zebra eggs to have to deal with impatient people, the Rosham wouldn't put him there. Right? Not Yedi and Bechira. Right? He has a true choice, and the Rosham knows it's good. Right? I'm not answering Yedi and Bechira. It's a fact. Yedi and Bechira work. Right? So now, so it means that vis-a-vis the impact that he has, all the people around him, there's a better level of every issue. He has to ask Mechil, etc. But at the same time, that's not his responsibility in a certain sense, because that's for shared.
They deserve it.
Right? The Russian has a question why they're supposed to get, you know, have to deal with this Mashiach. Right? That's part of the reality. He has to deal with it the best way the Bereshit wants him to deal with it. And if the best way to be effectively change himself is to take it one step at a time, supposed to go in cold turkey, right? So that means that if he needs to do it, like, you know, work and then get from 10 to 5 to 4, but so he says, I'm not going to anymore. And for 3 days, he's great, and then he explodes. He didn't accomplish anything. It doesn't work like that. You know, we know that avoiding changing something is a process. If he'll try to do it quickly, it won't work. So under the circumstances, this is what he's supposed to do. Right? So, what's happened to them? That's not his responsibility anymore. So we're having this conversation about Shabbos tables. He says, "Okay, so let's change the scenario." The fellow says to me, "I mean, I sort of." It's okay. What do you mean? I mean, I rephrase it for him. He says, so, "Let's change the scenario." So the person has a problem. He's a rutzeach. He killed 10 times a day. Every day he kills 10 people. He says, "You know, it's not good. You need to work in this." Gets it down to 5 a day. Tremendous accomplishment, right? He's only killing 5 people a day. Right. Why does he kill 5 people a day? Listen, it's my share. Then it wouldn't die. It wasn't my share. Right? So by choice, since, you know, like, listen, then he's going to burn in Gehenna for killing 5 people a day, right? I said, I don't know. He said, what do you mean you don't know? This is where the conversation ended. So, yes, Indian Bechira, you know. If theoretically, if I could tell you that right or wrong, the only way this person can stop, and maybe that's not true. Maybe there are ways that we could, you know, if a person would understand the depth of what he's doing, he would be able to change it. But on the circumstances, the only way he could stop, this is the only way he could stop. Then what he's supposed to do? He's an honest. Right? Elamai, what you said, that's not true. Oh, good, so we'll take the comment. But then we're not arguing on my yesoid. You're arguing on the practical application. Elamai, right? So, but that, then he says, listen, you know, instead of working on Ritzicha step by step, which is the only way it's going to be effective, since the mice is in a veira, burning Gehenna, the only eight is to stop doing it, which I will do, then I might as well keep killing. That's the Yitzhar. That's my point. Because the mice, I feel bad that people die because of me, and I can't handle that. If they try to still going to die, it's not worth it. So, you know, like, that's the Yitzhar. That's my point. The impact, the lack of making the effort, because you're looking at the impact as opposed to what your responsibility is. How to work on it, and they're saying, I'm not going to work on it because I'm looking at the impact. That's not Yetzer Tov. Obviously, the reason why you're motivated is because of the word about the impact, but you keep saying, well, impact, you know, that's not going to work. So a person has to, the concept of a Kabbalah, the person has to really deep inside of themselves and say, what is my issue? What is really motivating me? What are the problems? And it takes time. Right? And you'll find, you know, that human beings are complex. It's like, so what's the issue? So they went to, you know, there was a car accident, and somebody, you know, so says, it happened. It was just started raining, which is the roads, because they're very slick. It was nighttime. he had problems with his lights in his car. The other person was dark, right? So what's the problem? It must be because it was nighttime. That's ridiculous. There's five reasons why. You know, we used to Gomorrah. And Gomorrah, like, there's five. But what's the real Hasbro? Like, what's the real reason? You know, that's true in the case of Gomorrah. You can barely isolate the Nakuda. In literal life, you can isolate the Nakuda. The reason is because it was dark, and it was light, and he was going too fast, and the car didn't have good brakes. And there's five. You move any one of them, maybe it wouldn't have happened. Maybe not. I don't know. Like, you know, but you can't say that's the reason. You know, so why does it meet his problems? Because I isolate the reason. You know, I have many different things which play at me constantly. I mean, human beings are complex. To try and reduce this to there's one underlying core issue that I have, and that if I take that, everything falls into place. Halavai, you know. You know, that's just but we can't solve 15 at a time. So you work on one at a time, recognizing that there's going to be a lot of till it has real impact. There's a lot of different steps.
How are we supposed to know? Meaning, at the end of the day, the guy who's on the train, he thinks he's moving westward for a good reason. So how are you supposed to figure out whether or not he's moving eastward?
Good. So that was the Reuven Skiddush. That the Reuven Skiddush says. He says, so the issue wasn't about people you would see. It was I didn't think. Right? So I'm a Kabbalah. I'm no longer being Babel. You'd say, oh, it wouldn't be a good Kabbalah. I'm a Kabbalah. Like, you know, I don't get near my father's bed. Right? That'd be a nice Kabbalah that someone would make, right? I never talk about beds. That wouldn't solve the problem. The problem was that he needed to learn to apply the thinking process. So, you know, yeah, but that takes thought. What's motivating me? Why am I doing this? Asking questions to yourself. What's the real issue? What are the real issues? Why do I react? And you'll see patterns over a period of time. You notice patterns. I react to certain things in a certain way. So why do I do that? You know, it takes time. It's a process.